Amen. How many of you are excited? Now that song just kind of fires me up a little bit, in Christ alone, because, you know, really, as believers in Jesus, I mean, there's nothing else we can boast in. Nothing. There's nothing about ourselves that we can boast or get excited about, because everything we have from God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. So how many of you got some good things about you? All right, yeah, let's be excited about that. Well, that's from God. He gave that to you. So I want us to be excited. And I'll tell you what, I want to do something a little bit different tonight as far as I'm going to kind of veer off of what our plan was, because I had so many emails and questions and comments about last Wednesday night talking about community. Because I'm telling you, if we would ever as the church be who God has called us to be, it would change the world. Not because of us, but because of Jesus in us. And it made me think about some bright ideas that the church has had in the past. I actually served at a church that had an idea that maybe we should have a dress code. It's one of the bright ideas of the church. I was in a church once that wanted to have a rule that if you didn't have shoes on, you couldn't come into the church. And apparently, after a little investigation, it sounded like some kids were coming that didn't have shoes, and when they would walk on the non-carpeted areas in the church, they left little foot tracks. And so a group of people who supposedly followed Jesus got together and got a great idea. Let's say, you know, no shoes, no service. Why don't we just naturally come together when there's a situation like that? And rather than complaining that the kids are barefoot, why don't we go get shoes? But you know, that's what we've done to the world. That's what the church has done to the world. We've come up with our rules. I mean, the Ten Commandments wasn't enough. We had to come up with some more rules and just throw those on there. So you got to dress a certain way. You got to look a certain way. You know what? And some people say, you know, well, you got to act a certain way. And you know, I can go there to an extent, but I got to remember the worst things I didn't stop doing because the church said those things are bad. I stopped doing those things because Jesus came into my life and He gave me the power to stop doing those things that I didn't have on my own. Because every time I turned around, I was screwing up. Everything I wasn't supposed to do, I was doing. Everything. And I never stopped because somebody posted the rules. Never. The rules have never worked. It's only in Jesus. I heard with the evangelism conference, was in town this week, and I heard an old preacher was preaching. He was awesome, and he was saying, you know, as Christians, we should be so full of Jesus that if a mosquito bites you, it's going to fly away saying, there's power in the blood. You know? And why isn't it like that? Why is our first thought to be critical? And to be judgmental, and that word I think is really misused a lot. But why is that our first deal? I mean, it was such a powerful moment. And I can't remember if I told you this story, but I'll bless you twice if I have. But the Sunday that we just really prayed that people who hadn't been baptized would just come forward and be baptized. And I went and bought, you know, a gazillion T-shirts and men's boxers. Have I told you this story? Do you want to hear it again? Okay, good. And so we just gave a call. If you haven't been baptized and you have no good excuse because you know you should be baptized, you are a believer in Jesus already, you know, and you just need to do that, we've got clothes. So you can't say, I didn't bring any clothes. I'm going to put it off again. We've got towels. So you can't say, I don't have a towel because we got towels. We even have a blow dryer. I know how important a blow dryer is, and we've got all that stuff. And so it was this incredible moment. One lady who had planned to be baptized was in the back, and of course, I think we baptized like 24, 25 people that day. 24, Miss, you know, you're awesome. And these two ladies meet in the back, and they just start crying and hugging each other. They didn't know that they both went to church here, and that's possible. I mean, it's a big church, and so you might not know everybody that comes. But what was wild about it, because they were hugging, I thought maybe they were sisters separated at birth, you know, and here they find each other in the baptistry, and that'd be a good story. But the deal was that they had been bitter enemies for years in the place that they worked. Thank you. 20 yes, this woman, she's in the baptistry, and listen, you do an awesome, I appreciate you being back there helping people. That's awesome. And Kim Wright's back there somewhere, Sandy Carter, there's several of you, and I just appreciate you, because it's, listen, you want to be blessed, get on the baptism team. It's incredible. And so these ladies are hugging and crying. I don't know what's going on. And they finally share their story. They've been bitter enemies. And God did a healing in that moment that they saw each other. And it was powerful. So how could God do a healing in that moment that hadn't taken place in 20 years? Here's how. Because when you're back there in the baptistry and you're getting ready, you're focused on one thing. Jesus, and being obedient to Jesus. And these ladies meet, and they're not thinking about each other or their feud. They're thinking about Jesus. And their natural reaction when they're in that mindset was to hug each other. Because it could have been girls gone wild in the baptistry. But you know what? When we're focused on Jesus, life doesn't take the turn that it typically will when we're not focused. Some of the emails I got this past week were, the burdens I'm carrying are really heavy, and I want to serve and I want to be involved, but I'm carrying these burdens. And people ask, well, how do you lay these burdens down? I mean, how many of you have come to the altar a lot and laid something down, but before you went back to your chair, what'd you do? You picked it back up. Well, listen, we all do that. And so the deal is, and I think I'm beginning to learn this. Because I think the real question from people was, so how do I lessen my burden? How do I make my burden lighter? And so this will be oxymoronic, but I'm going to tell you how you lighten your burden. You share somebody else's. And you're saying, so if I want to lighten my burden, I pick up somebody else's junk? Yeah. It is one of the most healing, cleansing things that you can do as a believer is to carry somebody else's burden with them. Because when I'm carrying somebody else's burden, I'm focused on Jesus, I'm focused on their burden, and all of a sudden, it's like my dad used to say. You know, I'd come in and be like, Dad, my arm is really hurting me. And he just slapped me upside the head. And I'd be like, what's that? He goes, your arm hurt anymore? It's not that cruel, but it's the same concept. That I'm sharing somebody else's burden. And all of a sudden, mine doesn't seem as heavy. And it doesn't mean mine gets all cleared up. It doesn't mean I don't have any problems anymore. But I'm carrying somebody else's burden. I'm focused on that burden. And in the process of doing that, my burden becomes lighter. So like we have this crazy dream at Hillview about what the church should be. And that's why, I mean, we preach Jesus all the time. You know, people, I mean, if I hear one thing, a critical thing about Hillview, I hear people say, y'all are too evangelistic. Well, see, we believe there's something hotter than global warming. And that's hell. And I believe the worst thing could happen to you is to end this life without a relationship with Jesus. And so we preach Jesus. And you know what we found out? When we preach Jesus, do you know what happens? All the other things that we're supposed to be about, the Holy Spirit of God begins to show us. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that begins to show us what kind of neighbor we should be and what kind of father and husband and mother and wife and kid begins to show us those things. And it's powerful. And I want you to know people all over Bowling Green and the surrounding areas are starving for somebody to love them with no strings attached. And that's our call. We're supposed to love people like that. And that's what true koinonia is. That's what community is really all about. So if you want to lessen your burden tonight, pick up somebody else's burden and carry that with them. And you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Because I want to plead with you. And if you tune me out the rest of the night, just wait 1 second. It would be the most miserable life to spend your life trying to get rid of your burden. It'd be an awful life. It'd be a very self-centered life. And that doesn't mean that your burden isn't legitimate. And it doesn't mean that your burden isn't heavy, isn't painful. It doesn't mean that. But it means God never exempts me from doing what He's called me to do. He says we're to share each other's burdens. I'm not going to stand before God and say, God, my burden is so heavy. Can I just kind of focus on me for a while? And you know what God says to that? No. No. Share each other's burdens. But you know, it's because God knows that if we'll share each other's burdens, it makes ours lighter. And every time we're obedient to God, do you know what He does every time? Every time we're obedient, He blesses us. Now, don't run away with that. I don't mean there's a check in the mail with your name on it. I do believe there's a blessing with your name on it, as the theologian Billy Duvall would sing to us. But it may not be a check. It may not be anything. But listen, the greatest things that God has to give us are through these blessings. And I don't know how they come, but I know this. Every time I'm obedient, I get blessed. It's amazing. And so people say, so if I just want a blessing, I just need to be obedient? Just be obedient. Just be obedient. And God blesses that every time. So we're to carry each other's burdens. Now tonight, I was supposed to preach through... I was supposed to preach through verse 10. Kim, can I ask you to get me some water? I appreciate it. I feel a struggle coming on. And I didn't do that. And verses 8, 9, and 10 are so powerful. I don't want to move on. I want us to look at this. But I want to give you a warning. What I'm about to share with you is very, very difficult. But why I am excited to share it is that, look, we got bottles of water coming from everywhere. Thanks for wiping off the top, Chris. I appreciate it. And I don't mind to drink after you, so that's great. Thank you very much. Let's give Chris a hand. He's awesome. Thank you, Kim. Kim, if you have something colder, I'll take. No, I'm kidding. But what I'm going to share with you is so, it's just not practiced much. And yet I believe it's one of the most healing and cleansing things we can do. And I'm digressing from sharing each other's burdens, because the end of this, and it's still focused on community. And that's why I wanted to start off talking about that. So verse 8 in 1 John chapter 1 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so guess what's true for every one of us? We have sin in our lives. Raise your hand if you have sin in your life. It's almost everybody. If your hand's not up, you're a liar. And so technically your hand's up anyway. And so, but if we claim to have sin, if we claim not to have sin in our lives, we are deceiving ourselves. Now notice it says we deceive ourselves. Did you notice it doesn't say we're deceiving anybody else? Because guess what everybody else knows? That you got junk in your life. That you are not perfect. And I bet there's some people who'd be willing to point out those areas in your life. You know what? And can I be honest? I praise God you got somebody like that in your life. You need somebody like that in your life who can just say, you know what? You're wrong. You are wrong. I told a story a long time ago. I was pretty new at Hillview. And it's kind of crazy when you're new at Hillview. It's just kind of a different thing. Pastor Tim's here. When you're new at Hillview, you get some weird things that happen. And I remember I was taking my son to the doctor. And we're sitting there at the doctor's office. And this lady's sitting across from me. And she goes, you're one of them pastors at Hillview, ain't you? Of course, I'm new at Hillview. And I just love our church. I'm like, why, yes, ma'am, I am. Can I bless you here in the doctor's office? Because I can do it. And she starts railing on the church. My son is sitting there. He's like 7 at the time or something like that. And she's just going, and she can't shut her mouth. And she needed help shutting it, trust me. And she just goes on and on about how awful the church is, how awful Pastor Steve is, and how awful all these pastors are, and all the people of this church, and it's just awful. And she's going on and on and on. I don't know what to do. I was thinking about blessing her, and the Lord was helping me define what a blessing is and what it isn't. And finally, I just have to turn to my son. I said, Sam, you remember I told you that there's always be crazy people who don't want to follow Jesus and who won't listen to what He says? And he's like, uh-huh. Well, that's one right there.
continued to read my Sports Illustrated. And it was just wild. And you have people like that. You know, I found the easiest thing you can be in this life is critical of something. I mean, that's easy. I mean, if you want to point holes in my preaching, listen, I done got a list. You can just add to it, all right? Because I'm aware that, man, I'm not perfect, and I know and my life's not perfect. If you put a magnifying glass on my life, I'd be embarrassed and ashamed because listen, I am struggling in this journey just like everybody else. And I probably was wrong to say what I said at the doctor's office. And you know, sometimes when we think we're being holy, we're really just being arrogant. I remember one time preaching at a church, and you know, at the traditional church, when you're done preaching, you go to the back door and stand. Everybody been in church like that? Preacher goes to the back, and you leave, and you shake his hand. Everybody has to say something. And I always have to remind people when I preach, the reason I stand at the back door is so you can say, great sermon. That's the only reason I'm really back there. I'm not going to remember anybody's name, so just tell me it was a great sermon. That's, you know, that's why I'm back there. I remember one time I'm back there next to this preacher. I'd done a revival, and this little old lady comes through. She goes, it was a good message, but it was about 20 minutes too long. And the pastor had no surprised look on his face. Sounds like she'd been beating him up for years. And he's like, yes, ma'am. Well, I hadn't been trained yet. And I just said, well, ma'am, it was about a third of the time that Christ hung on the cross, and I thought you could sit there. I was like, just thought of it. Just bam, right there, you know. Well, the preacher didn't seem to appreciate the comment. He got pretty nervous and flustered, and his face was all red. And she said, young man, sometimes we like to put a roast in the oven and get home before it burns up. And the Spirit had not yet got a hold of my tongue. And I replied, well, if that's all I was expecting to get out of church, I don't think I'd bother to come. Well, of course, the preacher's hyperventilating. They had to go get a little bag, you know, and that was the end of that. And, you know, and I just was like, mess with me, old lady, you know. As I'll tell you how it is, you know. And the Lord just really just smacked me in the face and said, do you think that was holy? I'm like, well, Lord, she's a pain, and you know. But it's like the Lord's like, that was arrogant. You know, that wasn't loving. It wasn't necessary. It probably a woman that gives half her income to some mission somewhere, and the roast was probably for her neighbors, you know. And I'm just like, I'm telling you something, you old bag. You know, I'm gonna tell you right now. And the Lord said, that's not holy. That's not godly. I mean, was God lifted up in that exchange? No. You know, but even when I said it, y'all didn't know what my point was. And when I said it, y'all were like, yeah, it's awesome. That's cool. That's what I would have said. That's good, you know. And then I went there. It's not good. Because this community is filled with imperfect people. And so sometimes somebody smarts off to you, and sometimes somebody does something that bothers you. And you don't know if you've ever been sitting there and somebody's asked you to get up and move because that's their seat. You know, what do? That's what you should do. You should get up and just move, you know. But man, that's not what's inside of me. Remember about the mosquito? I'm afraid what the mosquitoes say when they fly away from me. Like, good Lord, save me, you know. But this community, the reason that we come together is we don't come together in our commonality, is our perfection. Now, this is really important. Our commonality is in Jesus, and we need Jesus because our other commonality is that we're imperfect. There's a great chance that even in this room tonight, somebody sitting on this side of the room that used to sit on this side of the room, but they got mad at somebody on this side of the room because they said something, but they're coming to church on Wednesday night and nobody chasing them off, and now they sit on this side of the room. But they pray for them, right? You always pray for people like that. Lord, just help them. Gosh. Lord, I just pray. I don't even think they're saved, Lord. I pray you'd save them. That's just an act. That's a con job, Lord. But I thank you that you've shown me that so that I can pray for them. Because how many times do we pray, Lord, help me. Now, I'm awful.
I mean, sometimes somebody will say something, and since I'm getting a little older, I don't know about wiser, but I'm getting a little older, I have learned to hold my tongue just a little bit. You know, it really helps my wife standing next to me, because somebody will say something, and I take a breath, and I get it in the gut, and it's her reminding me, just shut your mouth. Or if you got a friend that can tell you to shut your mouth, that's really good. And you need a friend like that, somebody who would tell you, you know what, you shouldn't have said that. But it's hard. We don't like friends like that. But in this community, as we come together, folks, we are imperfect. I mean, there's probably not a week that me or Pastor Tim or somebody else on staff has to talk to somebody and they don't like something about Hillview Heights Church. And I'm telling you, a lot of times I'm like, well, just leave. Lord, just go. You'll be back because you're going to find out. There's people like this in every church, and every church is full of imperfect people. That's not, our commonality is in Jesus, and we are imperfect, and I know that, and you know that, and I'm going to do my best, but I already know this about my best. It's not good enough. That's why he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. And we stand in need of a Savior, every one of us. Every person is in need of a Savior. I love to say that Jesus did on the cross what you and I couldn't do for ourselves. Jesus did that. And He was perfect. And that's why He could do that. He was perfect. And so we come together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Confession. If we confess our sins, because I want to tell you, I do believe that there is a place for confession. Obviously, we confess our sins to God. I hope that you do that. I know people, I've had people tell me, I don't confess my sins to God until I deal with them. I don't know, I can't deal with my sin. It's like a wildfire, and it just grows, and it goes on, and it all begins with a thought. I think I'm going to do this, or I think I'm going to say this, and guess what I almost always do? I say it, and I do it. Almost every time. And so we confess our sins to God, but I think He's created something for us in community, a place for us to confess our sins to one another. And this is powerful. In James 5:16, it says this: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Did you catch that? Confess your sins to each other. I wonder how many of you have somebody tonight that you can confess your sins to. And listen, this is like a crazy day and age to be confessing your sins to people. I got just a couple of guys, and they have confided in me that their struggle is pornography. And even as you say that, probably in this room, there's a lot of people that struggle with pornography. And since it's like 2007, it's not just men that struggle with it anymore. But there's women too. And I tell you, so the only time I really talk to those guys is when they call. And they call and say, Pastor Jamie, you got to pray for me. I'm having the hardest time. I am struggling. And I just need you to pray for me. So like, I always prefer them to call me when I'm in the office. But, you know, they got my cell phone. So sometimes I'm at Walmart, you know, and I'm in line. Because even though there's 47 cash registers, two of them are open. And I'm just waiting in line. I'm like, okay, well, I sure will pray for you. Thanks for calling. No, Pastor Jane, will you pray for me right now? I need you to pray right now. Yeah, I'll pray for you right now. So I'm in line at Walmart. Lord, I'll just lift up my brother to you, Lord. Help him in his struggle. Lord, you know what his struggle is. You know, of course, people by then are turning and they're watching. And to pray for each other. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Because confession is powerful. For I'm not going to go into detail, but there was probably two struggles in my life. Two struggles with sin that I had that, man, were just tough. I felt like it had a chokehold on me. And so, as a guy in college, how are you? As a guy in college, I'm struggling, and I got a couple of friends, And we met in an accountability group. We met on Thursday nights, and we'd just come together and we'd pray, and we'd study our Bible, and you know, and then we always had a time where you went around a circle and you had a time of confession. And guess what I could never do? I could confess sin, just not those that had a chokehold on me. And so I'd be in a circle and I'd say, "Guys, I want you to pray for me. I've had a critical spirit. Just pray for me. Thank you. That's it." And what kept me from confessing my sin wasn't even really seriously that I was ashamed of it. But that was in the line. What really kept me from confessing my sin was my pride, my arrogance. I don't want people to think I have struggles like that. And so I don't want to confess those sins, but I got to tell you, and I tried everything to break the bondage of that sin in my life. I tried everything. I mean, what if there was a book? I read it. And it never worked. You know, if there was a show I could watch, I'd watch it. You know, if there was anything, you know, and I'd watch, I mean, it got so bad I'd listen to TV preaching and think that maybe that'll help me. Nothing worked. So one night, I come to this group, and we're in that circle, and we've prayed, and we've read the Bible, and we just get to that time in the circle. And the way we went around the circle, I'm going to be the last guy to go. And I could not stop the tears from coming out of my eyes. And it's not that I'm ashamed of being emotional, but I hated what was happening inside of me. I just felt like I was dying inside. I mean, because when I was at college, I was traveling preaching on the weekends. I was going to churches to preach, and I was leading Bible studies and doing all these godly things. And I didn't want anybody to know that that stuff was in my life. I didn't want them to know. I didn't want anybody to know that I struggled like other people. I didn't want people to know that. And I can't stop the tears. And we get around a circle, and I'm like, "Just pray for me. I am so critical of people. That's all." And finally, one of the guys is like, "Man, what is your problem?" I'm like, "I'm just really critical." So shut up and quit asking. And finally, man, I just break. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. It was out of my mouth before I could rein it in. And I shared one of those struggles that I was having. And even as I shared the struggle, I couldn't look anybody in the eye. So either just snot and tears, man, just making a puddle at my feet, and I'm just covering my head. And you know what happened that night? The bondage of that sin in my life was broken. Because now there were people that knew. The temptation wasn't gone. Everybody with me? I didn't say, "And I was never tempted again." But the power of it was gone because I confessed it. And that's what James is talking about. If we confess our sins to each other, and I don't mean this, that we have confession night, and we set up the mic and people just come to the mic. I'm talking about somebody that you love, somebody who prays for you, somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that you can just go and share those really ugly parts of your life, because you can come on Wednesday night and act like you don't have those ugly parts, but you are deceiving yourself. And so we confess those things. Now listen, this is powerful. And what I hate about what could possibly happen tonight is that we all just say, "Oh, okay, that was a great sermon." And then we just go. Because some of you right now, you're fighting the tears back because you know what's inside. And you have tried everything. You've read the books. You've watched the shows. You've done everything you know to do, and nothing has worked. That's why the Bible says confess your sins to each other. It's powerful. And let me just tell you, you have to be in community to be able to do that. And that's what John is talking about. We need each other, and God has made it that way. Because God, how many of you agree that God will meet every need you have? All right, four of you. Well, let me just tell you, God will meet every need you have. But you know what? So many times God chooses to meet the needs in your life through another person. I mean, man, my wife reminds me all the time. You know, that God's going to meet her needs whether I submit to God or not. But you know what happens when I'm being a good husband and being obedient? God just chooses to meet a lot of those needs through me. And listen, that makes for a really great marriage. So tonight, we're going to have a time of altar. And for this time of altar, you know what? I just want us to get real tonight. So I think I've been pretty confessional tonight without grossing anybody out. That man, there's places in my life that God's trying to heal up. And I found such incredible healing when I was obedient to share those things with other people. Now let me just tell you a couple things. If you don't have somebody like that in your life, but there's some stuff you know you need to share, I want you to come to the altar tonight. And I want you to pray, God, I need help with this. Bring somebody into my life. And let me just be specific because I think you have to be in a crowd this size. Ladies, you need a woman in your life that you share those things with. Everybody got that? Because there's a lot of single men that would love for you to come and share, confess your sins to them. You don't need to. And guys, you need a brother like that in your life. You need that. And I know, like, you know, it's not really the nature of a guy most of the time just to share our feelings. I understand that. I'm talking about confessing our sins. And there's probably a lot of men here tonight. And you're struggling with some things bad. And you're wondering, will those things ever stop in your life? Can I give you some great news? They can stop. God can heal those places. I don't care how long it's been in your life. God can heal those places. Confess our sins to each other. And you need somebody like that in your life. And if you know that and you don't have somebody, I want you to come to the altar tonight. Say, God, I need somebody in my life like that, that I can share those things with. Because I'm going to tell you, all the stuff inside of me, I don't need to share with everybody. God knows them, and God's willing to send somebody alongside of me, a brother, who will help me carry that burden. And I really want you to hear me because I'm trying to be excited in everything because I can't really bodily demonstrate to you how healing it was to share that with those group of guys. And I felt it, that the power was gone that sin had over my life. It was gone. And community is important. And our brothers and sisters are important. So if your burden's really heavy, bring it to the altar tonight. Bring it to the altar tonight. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, man, we're preaching Jesus. He's the only hope that you have. No matter what you say you believe or what you think, if you don't believe that it's all about Jesus and He's the truth and life and the only way to the Father, you're wrong. And I don't say that in arrogance. I say that in love. And I pray your eyes would be open tonight to the truth that Jesus is the only one who can save you. He's the only one that can forgive your sin. And if you know tonight you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I would plead with you tonight to come to this altar. And it would be a thrill to pray with you, to invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. Father, we come to you. And I pray, because all over this room there are people struggling with some sin, something in their life that they've carried for a long time. God, I pray you would bond us together in you. And you would bring people alongside of us to help us carry those burdens. Give us the courage and the strength to confess our sins to those people that you've placed in our lives. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Don't wait for them to start singing. Just come. Come to the altar tonight.
So I wait for you.
Now listen, the temptation tonight is not to come to the altar when you know you need to, because you're going to be thinking, well, everybody's going to think I've got some really horrible sin in my life if I come to the altar. Well, we all do. We all do. Every one of us. So if you're kind of just standing there and you feel like, man, I just would love to come to that altar tonight. I would love to go to the altar and just pray. Let me just ask you. Just step out and do that tonight. Pastor David's here. Pastor Tim is here. I'm here. We would love to pray with you tonight. And especially, this is such an incredible healing moment if we will really listen to the Lord. So they're going to sing through again. And I just want you to come.